This is a special report on the Hidden Killers podcast.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the Alex Murdaugh trial. We are on day number two and segment number four. This is the final segment of audio from the courtroom today before they ended their day in court. Let's now head there and take a listen.
Please be seated.
You may bring the jury. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, sir. Chapman, resuming our testimony, I'm going to show you a handful of pictures. I'm going to mark. I've marked and I'm identify. I ask you to please identify them.
No objection.
You offer them all into evidence?
I am. Yes,
they are admitted without objection.
Okay. Permission to publish?
Yes.
Yes. And I think, and Your Honor, I think we already established that the drone footage has been placed into evidence, and I would request permission to play that first, and then I'll go to the pictures. Sorry. Captain Chapman, as we were discussing earlier, you did record, describe the process of what you did with the drones and why you surveilled the area.
Took pictures with our drone just to give an overall. Some of the agents have different job descriptions that day. Some of my personnel had different job descriptions that day. In order to have something as a reference point to go back and work with later, we took the department-issued drone and took a couple of aerial videos so that we could use them for reference later.
And, Your Honor, request permission for the witness to sort of direct the geography of the drone footage. If you would please step down.
Sure.
And if you could identify for the jurors as the video is played what we're actually looking at. Appreciate it.
In the image currently, what we see is the main house, the Murdaugh residence.
And
left of that would be
from the trees would be the main driveway that comes out. All right. If you could identify that on the video, the driveway that you're referring to.
I walk up.
Yes, sir.
So this would be the main structure and the main driveway that comes out from it with the trees. Ladies and gentlemen, the main structure, a residential structure, and the driveway. The main driveway that comes away from it with the trees.
All right. And now looking down the road a bit, Captain Chapman. This road that veers to the left or turns left, what is that road?
So that would have been the route that was described by Mr. Murdaugh as how he left his residence and came to the dog kennels, coming up the road with the planted trees, making a left here, ladies and gentlemen. there. And if you play the video a little farther, that rope ends at the incident location with the dog.
And if you would, please describe for us what we're actually looking at with this dog kennel area, identifying the structures in the entry point for the main mailbox area.
Absolutely. So this would be the area coming from the main residence. When we arrived on scene that night, or when at least when I arrived, right here, positioned with the headlights facing down this way, would have been Mr. Murdoch's vehicle. You keep hearing reference of the airplane hangar or the main shed. That would have been the large structure here. The dog kennels are the smaller one you see in the background and run perpendicular. And the driveway goes out to the road. Do I need to show you, ladies and gentlemen, here?
Is everyone able to see? Please do. Just go through what these structures are.
So again, the roadway coming from the main residence. Here you have what's been referred to as the hangar. Mr. Murdoch's vehicle was parked in this general area here with the headlights shining down this direction. Dog kennels. This is the large grass area that we were referring to when we're talking about the tire impressions in the dew. And this is a separate structure that sits off to the side.
And where would the entry point for the Moselle Road be on this distill shot?
Following straight down between the hangar and the dog kennels, going all the way through the tree line, the Moselle Road entrance would be back here.
All right, I'm going to just play it one time without stopping. All right, thank you, Captain Chapman. I'm going to play the second drone video. If you would, please please tell us what we're looking at from this perspective right now.
Yes, sir. So this would be the back portion of the airplane hangar, the driveway, the vehicles at the bottom of the screen. This driveway goes back around and connects back to Moselle Road.
And is this the hangar that you were referencing?
This is the airplane hangar, as we've been referring to it.
What is this structure on the top side of this image in the far back?
I believe that was a cleaning shed, for a processing shed for animals. If you're going to process a deer that you killed, it had like a walk-in freezer. Sinks, floor with drain in it.
All right. Describe to us what we're looking at from this perspective, if you would.
Certainly. So if you came in the Moselle entrance, which was the entrance that we were dispatched to, the 4147, and you turned by the mailbox off of Moselle Road and you came in the dirt driveway, you would be coming up between the two structures. You have your airport or airplane hangar on your right with the red tin roof, the dog kennel on your left. That was the vehicle that Mr. Murdoch was driving when I arrived on scene. At the time, the flashers were flat. I believe they actually still are in the drone video. The hazard lights are on all the way back from where dispatch initially advised him to cut them on for arrival. The large shed in the background out there is just simply another tractor shed.
And Captain Chapman, would you identify where the body of Paul Murdoch was located when you arrived on
yes,
this
sir.
Picture?
So the dog kennel is on the left of your screen, ladies and gentlemen. If you were to look towards the end of that structure, right where the gravel and the roof line are, and then step back approximately 5-6 feet. That would have been the location of Paul's body.
And where would Maggie's body have been located?
And Maggie's body would have been just beyond the roof line of the red airplane hangar on the side closest to the Suburban.
The trajectory of the vehicle that Mr. Murdoch was operating and actually left parked there, where would his headlights have been directed to?
As it sits now, which I believe is the same it was when I arrived on scene, the headlights were pointed on Paul's body.
And this structure just past the white roof, which is identified as the kennels, what's that run structure there?
I believe that was like a chicken coop or a chicken pen.
Mentioned before when we were talking about the tire tracks that you noticed in the dew of the grass that you were trying to identify the location of those tracks. As part of your investigation in conjunction with Detective Rutland, did you identify this black truck that we see pictured here?
We did.
Was the black truck, did any of the tracks line up to that black truck?
No, sir. That's what got us back to that location looking at the tire impressions. Was that we were trying to determine if that was the vehicle we believed that Paul may have driven to the kennels.
And did you check the truck to see if it was physically warm to the touch or had been turned
on? It was not.
Pausing here, Captain Chapman. The kennel run, I think you already identified, is that the structure with the white roof?
Yes, sir.
The silverish white roof in the background
yes,
on this
sir.
Image? And the feed room located where Paul actually was sort of straddled, where would that feed room be in this image?
If you look at the right corner of that building, and you can see the white frame door just above the red roof. That would be the area of the feed room.
And with the court's permission, I'd ask the witness to identify that on the screen, if you would.
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor.
This would be in the area of the feed room here. This would be in the area of the feed room here.
And while you're there, Captain Chapman, would you please identify in this angle where Maggie Murdaugh would have been located?
Yes, sir. Here.
Did you become aware, through the course of your investigation, of footprints on the side of the hangar?
Yes.
How did that occur? What brought your attention to that first, and what did you do as a result?
Detective Rutland approached me at some point in time after her arrival with the search warrant that she had located a set of prints. The prints appeared to be a flat style print like a flip-flop or a sandal of some type, and that they were to the left of this hangar door in the dirt underneath the left lean-to of the hangar.
And if you mean to the left of the door, in the image, do you identify an orange lawnmower there?
That's correct, in between that mower and the wall.
If you would describe... Describe what you did and what you and Detective Rutland decided to do to examine these footprints.
She came over and alerted me to the presence of the footprints or shoe impressions. I went over with her. We started at the side of the hangar here that you see in the image by the orange mower. At that particular point, you could only see those sets of tracks or shoe impressions in the dirt. We then walked around the other side, and you could see that they were also on the other side of the hangar. the far side of that structure. So then we made the decision to walk a line off the off of those tracks from one end to the other to ensure that there was no evidence of firearms, blood, anything underneath that hanger along those shoe impressions, which we did not locate anything but the single set of shoe impressions. And they appear to go from one end of the hanger to the other, turn around, and come back.
I'm going to show you what's been entered into evidence as State's Exhibit 193. Are you familiar with that location?
Yes, sir.
Is that a still image of the area between the hangar and that lawnmower?
It is, sir.
And is that the location where you noticed the treads, the footprints?
It is, sir.
All right. I'm handing you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 194. Could you please describe what you see in that picture?
This is a picture of the footprints along the edge of the hangar structure.
I'm handing you what's been marked and entered into evidence as State's Exhibit 195. Please describe what you see in that picture.
Again, another photograph depicting the shoe impressions along the edge of the
And wall. Those are the shoe impressions that you personally viewed on scene at Mizzou?
Yes, sir.
I'm also handing you what's been entered into evidence as State's Exhibit 200. Are you familiar with what that is a picture of?
These are the shoes that were on Miss Maggie at the time. I believe they're crime scene or autopsy photos from afterwards.
Rear view of the car operated by Mr. Myrtle that night. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
And is that, are those headlines directly aligned with where Paul's body would have been laid?
Yes, sir.
And from this perspective, where was Maggie's body located?
Close to the front of the Green Ranger to the left of the vehicle.
And from which direction did Mr. Myrtle indicate he drove to the scene from? Which direction would that have come from?
Bottom right-hand corner of the picture that you're seeing now.
If I could switch to... Chapman, I'm just asking you to identify just very quickly. These are stills from the video feed. What does that show?
That's the dirt road between the hangar and the dog kennels.
Okay, that would be State's Exhibit 192. This is State's Exhibit 191. And what does that show?
That's the... like we said, a cleaning shed, processing shed for animals, had a walk-in freezer floor with a drain in it.
Showing you states exhibit 190. What is that image of?
Looks like the area, the first two kennels closest to the
Does that reflect the two kennels with the two dogs on either side closest to the feed room?
Closest to the feed room.
Okay. And I'm showing you what's marked as States Exhibit 189.
That's the... And
is that another close-up of the water?
That's close-up of the water just outside the feed room.
And I'm referring to the pictures we just reviewed. This would be States Exhibit 193. Is that where you physically walked with Detective Rutland?
It is, sir.
And to be clear, when you observed the footsteps in the sand there, were they the only footsteps present?
There was only one style of shoe impression when we first observed that went from one side of the hangar to the other and back. And it was that smooth style shoe impression.
And you say there and back, does that mean the footprints in, to you indicated they had walked one direction and then walked the opposite direction back? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, sir. We weren't able to tell at which point, which side they entered initially, but they walked completely from one side of the hangar all the way underneath the lean-to to the other side of the hangar, or turn around and come back.
I'm now showing you what's been marked as States Exhibit 194. Describe the types of treads we're seeing in this picture, if you could.
Certainly. If you remember, I stated earlier that after locating the shoe impressions, Detective Rutland let me know that the impressions were there. I went over, we checked both sides and realized that they ran what we could tell with a flashlight from one side to the other. So we made a decision to walk straight through, keeping the shoe impressions that we were concerned about in between ourselves and the wall of the hangar structure, never crossing those actual shoe impressions. We went from one end to the other just to see if they were joined by any other shoe impressions, if there was any blood, if there were any weapons, so forth. We made one trip down and back, and we did not locate anything.
And I'm now showing you what's been marked as States Exhibit 195. Would that be a close-up of these impressions that you observed?
It is, sir.
And specifically the items in the middle with the flat tread, would those be the footprints that you noticed that night?
Those were the ones initially identified by Detective Rutland and pointed out to myself. The ones with the shoe impressions with the actual designs that would be left of those in this photograph, those are myself and Detective Rutland.
Move to publish what's been marked as and entered into evidence as States Exhibit 196 and 197. These are images of sensitive nature, have the cover sheet. I've advised counsel and our table to obscure the monitors. Showing you what's been marked and entered into evidence as States Exhibit 196. Are you familiar with what this is an image of?
Yes, sir.
What does this show?
That's the lower portion of victim Maggie's body.
And specifically referring to the lower portion of her body, but her footwear. Are these the footwear that you observed on her that evening?
They appear to be an accurate reflection of what she was wearing the night I was there.
Were you able to compare those, the general size and shape of those foot treads to the ones that you personally observed on the side of that hangar?
General impression, they are similar in nature and design and size. There were no measurements physically taken by myself or Detective Rutland.
Thank you. I'm publishing what's been marked and placed into evidence as States Exhibit 197. And this is a similar photograph with just a slightly different angle. Is that the same treads and same footwear that you observed previously?
Again, that what we believe that what we saw on the side of the building is a very close match as far as design and size as to those.
I'm showing you now what's been marked and placed into evidence as State's Exhibit 200. Are you familiar with that? I know you already described it, but tell us again what we're looking at.
Again, those were the shoes that were removed from victim Maggie's body at the scene, and the ones that we were visibly comparing the shoe impressions to.
Thank you. Okay. You can turn the lights on. Out of your way. Did you at one point have a be on the lookout or a bolo placed on any in particular vehicle that night?
Yes, sir. I believe I explained earlier that we had asked if anything was missing from the scene and trying to determine how Maggie and Paul got to the dog kennels, and after checking the F-150 that was in the picture that showed you earlier, the dark colored F-150, and that the Ranger had a flat tire, neither one of those matched up. I actually asked Mr. Murdoch if he knew how they got down there, and he said he wasn't sure, but they should have driven Paul's truck, which was described as a white Ford F-250. We noticed that the truck wasn't there. It wasn't up until that point that Mr. Murdoch, probably with everything going on, did not realize the truck wasn't there. And at that point in time, to our units at our agency, it was boloed out as possibly having been taken from the scene or removed from the scene.
And what happened? Were you able to locate the car eventually?
That was done sometime that night while we were on scene the very following morning, and I'd have to look back at notes to tell you exactly, but I believe it was around 10:30, 10:45 the next morning. That vehicle was located just inside Hampton County off of Highway 63.
Captain Chapman, referring back to the tire tracks, I know you spent some effort trying to identify the source and origin of those tire tracks. When you were attempting to investigate those tire tracks with Detective Rutland, did you have a chance to then observe Mr. Murdoch's demeanor?
Yes, sir. And we discussed, there were changes at the time.
What kind of changes?
Again, he did appear very upset, heavy breathing, distraught. When we asked the specific questions in regards to the tire impressions and we began looking at the tire impressions, it was just a change. The breathing slowed, and he began to watch us work more closely, sometimes out the corner of his eye. And after we moved away from that area with the tire impressions, the demeanor change returned back to upset.
Take the court's indulgence. No further questions from the state. Thank you, Captain Chapman.
Sir.
And my name is Dick Harpugan. I don't think we've met before.
No, sir.
I represent Alex Murdoch. And let me ask you a couple questions. One, and let me tee with these in a different order.
Sir.
But you indicated that if Mr. Murdoch had taken the pulse has tried to take the pulse of his dead son on his neck, or his wrists were under him. Did he indicate to you he had tried to roll his son over?
To me, no, sir. Okay. He did not.
Okay, tried to move him at all. Secondly, if he did get blood on his fingers or hands, were you aware that there was blood found on his shorts?
I was not, sir. Again, I was asked only about my visible observations and just did not see anything at the time.
Right, nothing on his shirt.
No,
indicate.
Sir.
Okay.
And I was unaware that anything was found.
But you're not saying that he, I mean, you didn't see anything that would confirm, but he didn't smear
That's
blood
correct.
On himself. Right.
That is correct.
But you're not saying that you have evidence he didn't try to check the pulse of his dead son?
I am not. No, sir.
Okay. So, and I think you indicated that his demeanor was consistent with somebody who had just found his wife and son butchered.
His demeanor upon my arrival and initial conversation with him was one who was of someone who was upset.
Okay, now let's talk. Just a moment ago, you said something about when you started looking at the tire tracks on the grass, in the grass.
It was a change of demeanor, yes, sir.
Well, a change of demeanor that perhaps he thought you had some evidence that would point to the killer of his wife and child.
Are you asking me if that was the change?
Was the demeanor consistent with that?
It was simply a change in demeanor.
Right.
And could it be?
Yes.
Sure, it absolutely could be. It was just a noted change in demeanor.
His interest.
Exactly.
Up. Right.
Yes, sir.
You were over there looking at tire tracks, and perhaps you had discovered a different car or a different tire track, and did you follow all those tire tracks?
We attempted to follow out everything we could. As I mentioned earlier, it was just impressions, dew impressions, wet impressions, not actual tracks.
Did you take pictures?
By the time that we did that, the rain started and Sled's crime scene was arrived. Again, we were rushing against the weather. The images, I believe we discussed earlier, were the only ones captured by body cam.
Right.
And
it's the body cam is not.
Our focus at the time was to secure the largest items of evidence that were identifiable to make sure that the weather didn't damage them. And by that time, Sled's team was on the scene.
Okay, and now there was two other sets of tracks, one of them coming out of the shed. And I believe your notes indicate that was the caretaker or the caretakers. Now, was that the caretaker that took care of the dogs or somebody else?
There was a set of tire tracks or impressions that went through the dirt underneath the hangar.
Right.
Lean-to. Initially, we didn't know whose they were. What vehicle had left those tracks, and the drone footage, you can actually see the agent still processing those. I believe that later I was told that they matched the tire tracks of someone that came to take care of the dogs.
Okay. Now, we heard from the fire chief a little while ago. Were you here in the courtroom when he
testified? No, sir, I was not.
Okay. He indicated that there were, on the road that led out to the Moselle Highway, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
You know, could we put the drone? Wait a minute.
You do that? I'll glad it up in the software when you can take it.
He meant
overview of the house and camera.
What now?
Overview of the house and camera.
I think I like the second. Well, no, go ahead and give me the first one. It may be in there. Okay, so were you informed that the chief of police had found some tire tracks on the road leading in or out from to the Moselle Highway behind. And if you look at the screen, this road where the cars are parked on either side of the road, that is that road, correct?
For clarification, the chief of the fire department or chief of the police department?
I'm sorry, chief of the fire department.
Just want to make sure I was answering correctly, sir.
Yes,
I was not made aware by Chief McRoy of anything back there, but it doesn't mean that he didn't see something.
He apparently informed your deputies of that. They never communicated that to you?
I was not made aware of any tire impressions of potential evidence down that driveway.
And I think Sergeant Green?
Yes, sir.
Indicated that it was communicated to him by the fire chief. Were you aware of that?
I was not, sir.
Until I just said it, you were not aware of that?
I was not made aware of anything that they believe was a possible extension of the scene that went down that driveway. No, sir, I wasn't.
If the fire chief had seen, and he's testified he saw, distinct tire tracks on that road, he thought it had some evidentiary value, not a police officer. Had you been made aware of them, would you have taken photographs or, I guess they don't use plaster casts anymore. That's...
We still do. Yes, sir. I would have done my best to preserve it, whether that meant photographic form or protection by other means from the approach and whether I would have.
Okay. So go ahead and let that run for a minute. I may want to stop it and deal with another issue. Okay, stop it right there. Okay, yeah, right there's good. Now, if you'll watch where I'm pointing to.
Yes, sir.
These are the dog. That's the dog shed right there, right?
That is correct, sir.
And right around in here would have been where Paul's body was.
Close to the end of that structure, right. Yes, sir.
And Maggie's body would have been on which side of this of Alex's car?
The end of the red roof on the driver's side.
Right. Now, are you aware that he discovered the bodies, called 911, drove back up to the house, and then came back down?
From listening to his statement and from the 911 call, I was aware of it.
And
yes.
He went and got a shotgun, came back.
Yes, sir.
And the shotgun was there, which sort of corroborates his statement, right?
I was made aware of that, yes, sir, that Sergeant Green took the shotgun from him upon his arrival and secured it.
And you can also hear the seatbelt dinging going on as he drives away, can you not?
You can hear that in the background of the 911 call.
Right. So this is where he came back, not necessarily when he pulled up to begin with, correct?
My understanding, that is the way the vehicle was when he returned. And the initial officers arrived on scene.
Right. So you don't know where the car was positioned. We first came down and discovered Maggie's body and Paul's body, correct?
My knowledge to it would be limited to his description of having taken a very similar route back to the house.
Right.
But I'd exact, close, but not exact. Yes, sir.
Now, what is this green hedge or whatever?
If I'm not mistaken, it was a grapevine, but the structure on the other side of it, a chicken coop.
Okay. And do you remember how tall that grapevine was?
I don't know exactly, but looking at the image, it's fairly tall.
10 feet?
I would say at least.
At least. Now, if you were at the house looking down this way, there's some pine trees between this area and the house?
There are, sir.
And then there's, if you're trying to look at the dog pens, there's obviously a 10-foot at least, what'd you call it?
The kennels?
No, the vine.
Grapevines?
Grapevines.
Yes, sir.
10 feet tall. So you could not see from the house the dog kennel because of the pine trees and the grapevine, correct?
I would venture to say you could not see the position of Paul or Maggie's body from the house.
At night?
At night.
Right. And this is not a well-lit area down here, is it?
I don't recall it being extremely well-lit, no, sir. There was some artificial light, but I wouldn't call it extremely well lit.
Okay. So, go ahead and continue running the video, please. And this was done the next morning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Keep going. Okay, stop. That black truck, whose black truck is that?
That's the vehicle that we checked that evening that I believe is, was titled as a farm truck, just a around the farm truck.
And is that the one you checked to see if it had been driven lately?
That's the one that Detective Rutland and I looked to see if those wet tire impressions matched up to the position of that vehicle when we arrived. Those particular impressions did not, and the vehicle was not warm to the touch.
Okay, but that would have been the night, previous night?
The night of the incident, right. When we arrived, yes, sir.
The night prior to this. But that could Paul have driven that truck down there?
It would depend on what time he drove the truck down there, but the impressions that we were looking at that we referenced when asked earlier by the Assistant Attorney General, they did not come to the back of that vehicle. They didn't come from that vehicle. Did he drive that vehicle to the scene? I can't tell you that, yes or no, but the impressions that she and I were looking at did not match the position of that vehicle.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But Paul earlier could have driven that down.
He could. It's very feasible he could have driven anything out there if that night. Earlier in that day, but just not that vehicle for those particular set of impressions.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Back that up just a little bit, please. Back it up a little bit more. Back it up a little bit more. Back it up. Okay, a bit more. Now, stop. So, the tracks that you found from the caretaker, where were they?
In the image that you're looking at now, ladies and gentlemen, they would have been to the right of the open door in the center. Underneath that large lean-to section. So the right side of
it. Come down here and point it out for me.
Your Honor, may I?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. This section, you can actually see the agent's feet there where she's still actually processing.
Okay. Were there any other tire tracks? Any other tire tracks? Go ahead and take it.
Thank you, sir.
That y'all processed other than those tire tracks?
To my knowledge, that was the only set that they actually, I believe the only set that they actually processed. By then, the only one left that wasn't damaged by weather as well.
Okay. Go ahead. Keep going. Stop. So in this road here goes out to Moselle Highway, right?
If you were to take the right T there,
yep.
By the silver trucks,
yep.
If you took the right, that would go out to Moselle Road. The left just loops around the airplane hangar.
Okay. And if the fire chief had indicated there were tire impressions back here in the dirt, you would have taken pictures or gotten plastic casts or something, right?
If I had been made aware that there was something there that someone thought may possibly be evidence, I would have done my best to secure it. But I was not made aware of any of that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Keep going. Okay, I'm done with this one. Can you put the other one up, please? That's the main house, the white building there.
Yes, sir. The Murdoch residence.
Keep going. While that's running, you would come down that driveway, take a left at that road, stop. And that if you kept going straight, you'd hit the Moselle Highway, right?
If you continued straight out the driveway with the planted trees on either side, that would be a separate entrance from the farm entrance.
Right.
It would have been the main entrance to the residence itself off of Moselle Road.
Right, the main entrance to come to the residence.
That's correct.
If you're going to the residence, you'd come in that entrance.
That is correct.
Going down to the dog pens, that area, the farm area, you take the entrance with the
I would assume so.
The post office box on it. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so that's actually all I need out of that. Thank you. Let me ask you a few more questions. If I could see. The photos of the the photos of the footwear, flip-flops or whatever. In one of your reports, you describe that as it looked to you like someone had been pacing. Is that correct?
I did describe it as pacing, I believe.
Is that accurate?
Simply because it goes down, turns around, and comes back. It doesn't appear to veer off anywhere in between. And there's nothing. It doesn't start anywhere in particular. Anywhere in particular, it goes all the way across, turns around, and comes all the way back.
Okay, and the pictures that, and I'm going to look at them here. Could I have those? The pictures that were put into evidence a moment ago. Can I use the Elmo, please?
Yes. Hello? And the lights down.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I can't see this. Where's it? Is that more? So there's two. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's something cool. This is 195. See, are there other pictures in
there? These are the other two.
Okay, so. Yeah, no, this one. So, as we see in this picture, there you go. Yeah, that's good. We see these flat marks, right? That would be the flip-flops.
The impressions we were following, yes, sir.
Yes. So they're like right here and here and here, and in some instances, these look like, actually, we blew one up, and it's got an REI symbol in the middle of it. And they're, in at least one instance, over one the flip-flop. Who's that?
The only prints that I'm aware of that we could see that night without blowing anything up was the image of the flat shoe wear that you see. And then what Detective Rutland and myself were wearing when we crossed through.
Well, were you wearing, that's fine, like, I mean, is this y'all? Would you have walked over there or here?
Presumably so, because those images weren't there prior to us walking through. I don't remember exactly what shoe style Detective Rutland was wearing and myself, but.
So, let me put this one up. Like this, okay. Again, you can see the pattern of flip-flops, but you also see these patterned boots or shoes over the flip-flops. Are you telling me those were not there the night before, or you couldn't see them?
No, sir. What I'm telling you is when Detective Rutland and I first observed those impressions, there was nothing but a smooth, small, flip-flop-style impression, which went down from one end, all across underneath the hanger, all the way to the other, turned around and came back, which is the reason that I referenced it as being a pace. Had it simply crossed underneath, I would have just said crossed underneath. But those were the only impressions. Then she and I walked down the shed, keeping those shoe impressions between us and the wall without stepping on them.
So those were not.
But we did not photograph them. That information from that point was relayed to crime scene because we had not done any photographs of all at all at that point. We were waiting on crime scene. So anything else that came through after that would presumably be crime scene that would have come and taken a look at the impressions, yep. Not us.
I'm trying to get two issues. First issue,
sir.
Were those patterned shoe prints there the night before when you walked through?
The only print there were the flat, smooth ones.
So those, and I'm not trying to belabor it.
I'm sorry.
So those pattern prints came after you saw them the night before?
Correct. The only impressions were the flat, smooth
ones. And you left and turned it over to SLED to process the scene?
While we were there, again, that was at some point in time while we were there that evening. I didn't leave until like 10 o'clock the next morning. At some point in time, that information was relayed so that they could photograph it. And I don't know whose prints those are. I would assume that they would have been agents that came down behind us and photographed or collected or did whatever.
So we were talking about crime scene integrity earlier.
Yes, sir.
Those aren't your footprints, correct?
The ones that are, there is a set that would be myself and Detective Rutland's, but they're not going to cross over any of them.
The prints that cross over, they're not your prints.
No, sir. If it crosses over one of theirs, it's not mine.
Okay. Who took this picture, do you know?
I do not know.
But it was taken, you think, the next day?
It was taken relatively soon afterwards because it still shows the smooth prints. So it was either taken upon daylight, because again, we didn't leave until like 10 o'clock.
Right.
So I don't actually know.
So is this best practices to walk over evidence before you photograph it?
Can't say that, because it wasn't myself or my detective that did that.
I'm just saying,
if they were doing so while processing or while collecting, then and inadvertently stepped on one, it's okay, because they have other ones to use. But, I'm sure that you would have to probably ask the person that stepped on them and took the photographs.
If one of your detectives had done this, you would not be happy, correct?
I wouldn't be happy, no, sir.
Okay.
Not unless it was done after it was processed and for a reason.
Well, these are the crime scene photographs taken by, we think, SLED or Solicitor Duffy Stone took some pictures the next day.
Sure.
Some agency other than yours, but certainly nobody ought to be walking across this stuff, right?
No. Again, like I said, they weren't like that when we were there, sir.
Let me then go to one of the other pictures you were showing a moment ago. This water?
Yes, sir.
These pictures taken of the water? Do you know when they were taken? I'm sorry. 189, 190. Do you know when they were taken?
I know they were taken that evening, sir, but I'm not sure if you're looking at stills off of a body cam or an actual crime scene photograph. So I don't know exactly when, but they were taken that evening, obviously.
In this picture right here, water seems to be coming from the pen, right? From the dog pen?
It appears so, yes, sir.
And there's two full pails of water there for the dogs, right?
In the picture, absolutely.
Okay. And then there's some additional water in, and this is 189, that I'm not quite sure where that is, but that's consistent with the water you saw that night, right?
Yeah, the water that I saw that night, and it was captured very well on Sergeant Green's body-worn camera, came out of the first two kennels.
Right.
Traveled down a short distance and then over to where, at the time, Paul's body was left.
So the water that was around Paul came out of the kennels, correct?
I don't know if that's where it came from, but it did come from that direction. There was, and I did not see a hose or a jug or anything else, but it did tail from those first two kennels down to where Paul's body was.
Okay. Now let me... this is an item under seal. 196. This was introduced to show what shoes she had on, right?
Previously,
yes.
Yes, it was.
Now, on the back of her leg right here, did you that night look at that dirt?
I did.
Did you see a footwear impression, partial footwear impression, in that dirt?
I saw what could very well be a impression.
As if somebody put their foot on the back of her leg.
It was something out of mud that very well could have been a shoe impression.
On the back of her leg.
On the back of her leg.
They put their foot on the back of her leg. Do you know what analysis, if any, was done by SLED or any other law enforcement agency to determine if that was a shoe impression? And if so, what kind of shoe? Do you know?
I do not know, sir.
Okay. Thank you. You can turn the lights on, and I'll turn. How do I turn this on? Okay. So, let me ask you. I got just a couple more questions, maybe.
Sure.
So, so when you left that night for that early the next morning, had you come to a conclusion as to any suspect?
Had I come? No, sir.
Okay, are you aware that the next day, the next morning, that your department issued a statement that said, at this time, there is no danger to the public. If information is received that dictates otherwise, we immediately notify the public. Are you aware of that?
The Colleton County Sheriff's Office issued that.
Colleton County Sheriff's Department, yes.
I'm unaware. No, sir.
Let me hand this article up to you. From the Post and Courier.
No objection. I haven't seen this. I'm not familiar with anything counsel's referencing.
Yeah.
Now let's stand for a moment.
Posed was whether he was familiar with the statement made. He said no. The media article contains all sorts of information not in the record. And not
I haven't heard any exhibit being offered into evidence.
Your Honor, I offer into evidence the Post and Courier story of June 8th, the next morning, 2021, which contains the quote which I've just read.
In any case, he's not familiar with it.
So, was there a danger to the public the next morning? Were you afraid that some serial killer was out there with a shotgun, AR type weapon?
I can't effectively answer whether or not there's a danger to the public when I don't have all the pieces to the puzzle. I am fairly certain that statement wasn't issued by us, and the reason I can state that is because we were not primary, and it is a big no-no for us to issue anything when we're not the primary body. So where that information came from, I'm unaware, and it was never asked for me to approve to send to the sheriff. It would have never came from us.
Okay. If that statement had run, if it did in the Post and Courier on the 8th, would the Sheriff's Department have pushed back on that and said that's not accurate? There'd be a subsequent story I haven't seen.
I wouldn't have. I can't state that. The only thing I could tell you that when I left that morning, I didn't have any information that proved one thing or the other.
So when you left that morning, was Alec Murdaugh a suspect in the killing of his wife and son?
When I left that morning, I wasn't the primary investigator.
Who was?
That would have been SLED.
So you gave the whole case went to SLED?
The whole case went to SLED. We were an assisting body at that time.
And you were never consulted after that by SLED?
I was not consulted in the sense that anything was provided to me. We have assisted. I have stored vehicles. I have stored property for them. I have stood by while they executed search warrants. But it was not in a manner in which the information or knowledge they had on the case was shared with me. It was the exact opposite.
On the night of the murders, did your department obtain a search warrant?
We did, sir.
For all the property, the house, all of it?
It was obtained for the entire 1,700-acre property.
Including the house?
Including the house.
And was that executed?
It was executed at beginning at the dog kennels at the primary scene.
But did you go to the house?
I did not.
Did your department?
We did not.
Who actually executed the search warrant?
The search warrant was provided that evening to crime scene, which is standard protocol. When they come, they're going to ask for it. We have to show it. Sledge crime scene. Okay. It was given to them. And we stayed, myself and several of my detectives. Several were sent home so they could come in the next morning. And we stayed and assisted. I didn't leave till 9 or 10 o'clock the next morning.
Did you go into the residence?
But no, sir. The drone footage that you saw was the last thing I did at that scene that morning, and then I left and went home.
What about that night when the search, was the search warrant executed that night?
After that incident there, or that search warrant was executed, I did come back later that day and did a walk around of the property that we've been discussing all afternoon. Right. I have never been to the main house.
Never been in it?
I have not been in the main house. Not during this incident or any other incident.
Did someone from your department go in the main house?
Not that I'm aware of. It wouldn't have been, not as an investigator. Let's put that. None of my detectives went over there under my direction.
So you gave the search warrant to Sledge, the crime scene people.
Yes, sir.
That gave them the authority to go in the house, correct?
It was signed off on to cover the 1,700 acres.
Right, but I'm specifically talking about the residence.
Any structure.
Gone in the residence. They could have taken all his clothes to check if they wanted, right?
They could have. Right. I don't know that they didn't.
Well, we're going to talk about that later on. They could have. You're familiar with trace evidence, many cases where they check showers or the sinks to see if there's a trace evidence of blood, right?
Am I? Yes, sir.
Yes. And do you know whether they did that or not?
I do not, again.
Do you know that you can, with the appropriate technology, look at microscopic evidence, see whether it be blood or tissue, or if somebody tried to wash something, you can actually still, in a washed piece of clothing, detect blood or detect tissue, even after it's been washed. You aware of that?
Am I aware of that? Yes, I am.
Do you know whether Sled did that?
I do not, again.
But they could have that night done all of those things under that search warrant.
Presumably so, and I'm not saying they didn't. Again, Mr. Harper.
Well, but they could have. I'm not saying they didn't either. We're going to find out. But under the search warrant, your department obtained, they had the authority to go in the house, any of the buildings, anywhere on that property, and look for guns, evidence of any sort of crime, evidence of, again, in the shower, in the sinks, trace evidence. They had the authority to do that.
To answer your question, as long as they stay within the scope of the actual warrant that was signed, I don't have that search warrant, and Detective Rutland is the one that actually got it. If they stay within the scope of that search warrant, and they're only searching inside that scope, they had the ability to search structures, vehicles, only 1,700 acres, as long as they're within the scope.
We'll hear from Detective Rutland tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And I'll ask her these questions.
Thanks, sir.
Having said that, Your Honor, I have no further questions.
Any redirect?
Very briefly, Your Honor.
Captain Chapman, the footsteps that you noticed, I know we've been through quite a bit of it, but counsel raised this issue. The path you followed, were they consistent with a person who started back beyond this area? And then where did they go from there? I'm asking where they went. Where did they originate? Where did they go to? And where did they end?
That's not
Objection. Sustain as to the form of the question.
Thank you. If you could, please explain to us where, in your estimation, having traced the tracks, where they originated from, where they ultimately went to, and where they ended up.
The shoe impressions crossed completely from one side all the way to the other, with the building to the right going down, coming back the opposite direction. The only reason I can say that we're fairly certain that it started from the grass side and went through, turned around, and came back is because we never saw any impressions similar to that running beyond the airport hangar on the back side.
And the location, where, in reference to where these footprints ended, ultimately, and where Maggie's body is located, where, how did that line up? Describe that how they lined up.
If you take a step back from there, to the right of that image would have been on the opposite side of the hangar door, would have been Maggie's body.
Okay. Referencing State's Exhibit 190. Captain Chapman, do you notice blood marks here in the water?
Objection, Your Honor.
Yeah. The objection is sustained.
Thank you.
Did you observe blood marks in the water when you were there that evening?
He's calling for speculation.
Pardon?
He is calling for speculation as to what discoloration in the water, if there is any, is caused by.
I'll lay more of a foundation, Your Honor. Captain Chapman, were you familiar with the scene as this picture depicts?
Yes, sir.
Did you personally view what this picture depicts?
I did.
Are you familiar with the discoloration, and did you observe the discoloration in this photograph on two different areas?
I did see that.
Was that discoloration, in your opinion, consistent?
Objection.
He's not been qualified to give an opinion about this matter.
I didn't hear the complete question.
In your estimation, and
Your Honor, objection, and if he's going to pursue this frivolous line of questioning, I'd ask the jury be excused. No evidence whatsoever.
Objection is overruled. Let's pause the question.
In your experience and observation, having observed the scene and all the matter that was there, were those lines in the water consistent with blood?
Objection.
Objection sustained.
Thank you.
I don't need to be thanked for any ruling.
No. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Expressing my gratitude is improper. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I'll ask just one last question and I understand the court's ruling. Captain Chapman, are the substance there that you identified as having observed, are they in a straight line? Are they in straight lines?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor,
I'd like the motion to strike his questions about blood from the record and the jury be instructed to disregard those questions.
I've informed the jury that they're to disregard any question when I sustain the objection. They were previously instructed on that.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Any further?
No, Your Honor.
Cross-examination. Thank you, sir. You may step down. If you turn the lights up, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of this day. Thank you all very much. We'll resume at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Have a good evening. Please remember you're not to discuss the case with anyone or allow anyone to discuss it in your presence, nor are you to engage in any or be exposed to any other information other than you what you have received in the courtroom and will receive in the courtroom. Have a good evening.
And that's where day number two ended in the Alex Murdaugh murder trial. Thank you for joining us for our continuing coverage. We'll continue to cover the trial for you just like this for the duration of the trial day by day as the audio comes in and the days wrap up. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage, including discussions, breaking updates, and more from this case and beyond. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter @TonyBPod. For all of us here at True Crime Today, thanks for listening.